Congregation, the scripture reading of this morning you will find in the Old Testament in the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 11, and the gospel according to Matthew chapter 2, the verses 13 to 15. Hosea 11, the word of the Lord. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called him, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I told Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of men, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke of on their yawns, and I laid meat unto them. He shall not return into Egypt, in the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refuse to return. And the sword shall abide in his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them, because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding for me, though they call them the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee of Admah? How shall I set thee as Zebulun? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, as a dove out of the land of Assyria, and I will place them in their houses, says the Lord. Ephraim compasses me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit, but Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints. And the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. And when they, that were the wise men, the magi, and when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I have called my son. This far the reading of God's word. Congregation, in the city center, downtown Cairo, in Egypt, in the midst of a city of 10 million people, you will find a conservative and confessional Christian seminary, the Alexandria School of Theology. And in front of that seminary, there is an 7 feet high rock, a big stone. And on that rock there is an inscription in English. Out of Egypt I have called my son. And once when I was walking into the entrance of the seminary, I asked one of the instructors, why this text? And he answered, This is our only hope. Christ and Him alone. Who He is. Which brings us by our theme of this morning, who Jesus is, or Jesus is King, as we find it in the text words of the Gospel according to Matthew, as we have read, chapter 2, verse 15b. Out of Egypt I have called my son. In congregation, on these text words, that has sometimes caused some interpretive bewilderment. Is it that the gospel writer wants us to know that Christ fled to Egypt when Herod attempted to murder him? Is it just a part of the history of the life of the Lord Jesus that he and Joseph and Mary were refugees? Refugees is a person who is forced to leave their country in order to escape persecution or war or unrest. And so they crossed the border from Canaan to Egypt and stayed in Egypt. They were immigrants. And Egypt had been a welcome place for refugees, for foreigners. And think about the Israelites of the past, Abram. Due to famine in Genesis 12, flees to Egypt. Jacob and his family, they stayed as immigrants. They were strangers and sojourners in Egypt. Jeroboam, escaping murder, was a refugee in Egypt. Jeremiah, as some Jews feared for the Babylonians, they stayed in Egypt as refugees. Or is it that Matthew writes about the flight of Jesus, Joseph and Mary to Egypt and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit remembers what the prophet Hosea writes in chapter 11, verse 1, and called my son out of Egypt. But is Hosea 11 about Christ? Is it not Israel in that chapter that the Lord calls a child my son? And thus, the words spoken in Hosea, are they not different in the context and the circumstances in the Gospel of Matthew? And sometimes you have that maybe in reading the New Testament, where the writer cites or refers to an Old Testament text, which seems to be different in context. For example, in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith, and refers to Habakkuk 2 verse 4. And you wonder, what is the connection? And so here in Matthew 2, the connection, the gospel writer uses the word fulfilled. The question is, what is fulfilled in Christ? And fulfilled is a very important to Matthew, because three times in this chapter, this chapter 2, we read verse 23, that it might be fulfilled, what was spoken by the prophets. Verse 17, that then it was fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. And then verse 15, our text, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. But what is fulfilled in Christ? How do we make sense of this prophecy in Hosea and the fulfillment in Matthew? Why this text? Remember the rock at the entrance of the seminary in Egypt. That also we may see this morning. When we consider with the Lord's help these text words out of Egypt, I have called my son, that we may experience personally, he is my substitute, my savior, my only hope, my king. And therefore I want to meditate with the help of the Lord on these text words. These text words that point who Jesus is, first and foremost, that Jesus is king, particularly in this gospel. Text verse reading in context that shows us three brief main thoughts. It speaks about opposition. It speaks of God's grace and love. And it is an invitation to remember. Congregation Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this gospel for readers who were familiar with the Old Testament. And he writes, he knows their knowledge of Scripture. Even in cases when he quotes one or two sentences of an Old Testament passage, they know the context and the rest of that passage of Scripture. And usually, it is a context that reminded them of their history, memories of the past. There's a certain place, a passage in Scripture indicates more than a location in Scripture. It recalls memories and meaning. There are parallels. There is a certain similarity between what is quoted and the circumstances in which the quotation is placed. There is an analogy, a parallel between those contexts. Let me show a number of these parallels here in chapter 2 of Matthew. First, it speaks about Joseph and a dream. And it reminds us of Joseph of the Old Testament who dreamed a dream. And related to that, Joseph and Egypt, as we read in verse 13 of Matthew. It reminds us of Joseph, the son of Jacob, who lived in Egypt. And both Josephs in the Old Testament and here in Matthew made acquaintances with dreams, with Egypts and kings in their lives. And what happened when the Joseph of the Old Testament died? Another Pharaoh arose who knew not Joseph and who killed all the young little baby boys. Exodus 1. And so, King Herod here in the New Testament is like a Pharaoh. This parallel. Other examples and parallels, Exodus 2 verse 15. Pharaoh sought to kill the young Moses. Matthew 2 verse 13, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Exodus 2 verse 15, Moses fled, departed from the face of Pharaoh. And so we read in Matthew 2 verse 14, and he departed. Exodus 2 verse 23, and it came after many days, as the king of Egypt died. And so we read in Matthew 2, then Herod died. Then Moses returned to the people of Israel. As we read in Exodus 4, go, return, for all men are dead with salt thy life. And so we read in Matthew 2 verse 20, saying, arise, they are dead with salt the young child's life. This congregation, as Herod, was an anti-type of Pharaoh. So Moses is a type of Christ. Moses who came to his people Israel to deliver them, to lead them. So Christ, and that is for Matthew the main reason, it is about him, the Messiah, the King of the Jews, Jesus the King, who comes, who redeems, who leads, and who cares. Do you see that in your life? Pause for a moment this morning. With everything that goes on in your life, is he your king? Because it is one of the two, as set forth in chapter 2 of Matthew. And we read, now when Jesus was born in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east came and asked for the king of the Jews. That is the contrast. It is Herod or Jesus. It is Herod, the king, a worldly king, a political figurehead, One who murders their children die. One who's supported by the religious people of the day, by the religious establishment, those that know the scripture, they can cite it effortlessly. Or it is Christ, the King. Because this claim about Jesus, a King, gives opposition and hostility. The gospel writers always made that very clear in their opening chapters. Keep in mind that they had a lot of material to work from, but led by the Holy Spirit, they are selective in what they write, and it reveals foremost who Jesus is. As we were reminded on New Year's Eve, when Simeon saw this child, Jesus, is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against hostility, opposition. And so here in Matthew, King Herod and the religious establishment, Jerusalem, they were greatly disturbed and troubled. And later in Jesus' own preaching, there was opposition. He did not preach, ask me your philosophical questions and I will answer them. Or I will show you the way and now go and do your best. But he says, he claims, I am the way, the truth and the life. And therefore he was opposed by many. Congregation, he claims sovereignty over your and my life. He is King. And he deserves complete allegiance. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Because either is terror and anger and opposition in your life to him, as we see by Herod and the religious establishment, and remember, with all their knowledge and piety, but they never went to Bethlehem to see Jesus and to worship him. Or you kneel and bow down before him and surrender. The natural response to who Jesus is then and now is a resentment in the heart. Because we want to be king of our own life and our own destiny. Or by grace, you fell down and worship him. As we heard so recently of the wise men meeting Jesus. They were outsiders, but they bowed their knees. They presented gifts unto him. Gratitude for who he is. Where are you? Where are you? There is no indifference. The apostle reminds us in Romans 8, because of the carnal mind, there is enmity against God. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. And let us be honest this morning, congregation. You may know by grace of this life and peace in your life. For Christ's sake, having surrendered to him, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast. And yet, and maybe you recognize this, there's this residual resentment in your heart and life. Now, for example, when he answers prayers, but a week later you have forgotten that. And you think that you can figure it out all you by yourself. Or maybe so recently, when there was Lord's Supper, and maybe heaven was experienced, When this shepherd king in his infinite tenderness showed mercy and grace and his overwhelming love to you, so undeserved. But now, it seems so distant. Is it not often, as the Apostle Paul writes, the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Be honest with yourself, congregation. Sometimes there can be a backsliding. What more? The Lord said in Hosea 11, what we have read together, my people are bent to backsliding from me. Forgetting who he is. What then? What then? Brings us by our second point that speaks of God's grace. And we still have this outstanding question. How do we make sense of the prophecy in Hosea and the fulfillment in Matthew concerning out of Egypt I have called my son? Well, what is then fulfilled in Christ? When the gospel writer uses the word fulfilled, it simply means fill up, coming to completion. Yeah, as we have seen, that Matthew goes at great length to show in the verses 15 and 17 and 23 that Jesus was filling up, completing the Old Testament, fulfilled. But it is more than that. It reveals, it brings to light what previously was in the shadows. And Matthew looked back and saw an analogy, a correspondence between the history of the nation of Israel and the history of the Messiah. And therefore, let us turn for a moment to Hosea 11. Because, congregation, when we have to summarize this book, this message of the Lord through the prophet Hosea, we may say it speaks about God's unchanging grace and faithfulness towards Israel's unfaithfulness. The Lord attests to the prophet Hosea that it is Israel that departs time and again from the Lord, unfaithful, a backsliding. And yet that it is the Lord who always looks after his people, undeserved faithfulness. And it is that what the prophet proclaims and shows in chapter 11 of his prophecy. And how does the prophet do this? He does this to remind the people of their own history in Egypt, the Exodus. And so Matthew brings to mind this chapter of Hosea by quoting verse 1 of chapter 11. And remember, the verse 1 stands for the entire chapter, and it stands for the context and the meaning and the memory of what happened in the past with the people Israel. Because we read in Hosea 11, as we read together, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and I called my son out of Egypt. So how did the Lord see his people? As a child. As a child that he loved. And did not Moses proclaim in Deuteronomy, only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. And he chose their seed after them. Even you. He's speaking to you. Even you. Above all people. As it is to this day. There was nothing in that people. It was free. Electing grace and love of the Lord. Did you now ever wonder? Did you now ever wonder? Why did the Lord come to me with his word? Why did he set me apart in this world through baptism? Why was it that his word showed me my sin? But also that Christ became my beloved. Why me? Slave of the Lord. When Israel was a child, I have loved him. You know, says Hosea to Israel, and we hear it again this morning, centuries later. You know how this love of the Lord was visible in the life of Israel? The Lord reminds them of their own history. As we have read from verse 3 in Hosea 11. I told Ephraim also to go. I told them to walk, taking them by their arms, and they knew not that I healed them. I took them in my caring arms. I drew them with cords of men, bands of love. Drawn to me, says the Lord, with cords of love. And I was as they that take off their yoke in their pants, meaning I took away their distress, which pressed them down so often. And I laid meat unto them. It was I, says the Lord, that fed them and strengthened them on the way. Such was the grace and love of the Lord to his people. Despite all their unfaithfulness and backsliding of Israel at the time of Hosea. But the Lord reminds them. He points to Israel's own history and to the faithfulness of the Lord. That it was the Lord time and again who draws to himself with cords of love. That it is he, maybe for you this morning, who takes away my distress and drives away my night. Does not the Lord testify through Jeremiah, I love thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. Drawn with love freely and undeserved. And congregation, where was that love, God's love, now most displayed? Where is that grace and love of the Lord now most seen? That brings us back to the Gospel of Matthew. As Gospel writer shows in the opening chapter, the King of the Jews. So he ends his Gospel pointing us to the ultimate reason why out of Egypt I have called my son, Christ on the cross. As we read at the close of the Gospel, as it was written over his head, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. A dying Savior for the dying sinners. On the cross, it is the most definitive answer who Jesus is. For one, maybe this morning in our midst, who is burdened by the weight of sin, by shortcomings, by backslidings, by unfaithfulness. Oh, you are welcome at the cross of Christ, this display of God's love. As Bunyan so vividly writes in Pilgrim's Progress, on that place to the cross, a little below in the bottom of the sepulchre, and so I saw, just as Christian came up with the cross, his burden loosed from his shoulders and fell off his back, and it began to tumble, and so continued to do, until it came to the mouth of the sepulchre, where it fell in, and I saw it no more. Do you see God's love in Christ this morning? Coming out of Egypt is your only hope, your only substitute, your only Savior, your only King. Oh, take refuge now. The Lord shows so his grace in Hosea 11. He pleads with his people. How shall I give thee up, O Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? I will not execute thy fierceness of mine anger, and I will not return to destroy Ephraim. It is that the Lord stands before us Troeus wordt en pleats en entreats en implores with each of us. And let us know, I will not execute my anger, which we deserved. I will not return to destroy. How shall I give you up, O congregation of Grand Rapids, children, teenagers, young adults, parents, grandparents? People would have given up for such an unfaithful and backsliding people, but God gave everything that he had, his only son, for the people who deserved nothing. And therefore, when Jesus fled Herod and went to Egypt, it brought to a climax the work of deliverance that began in the Exodus of Israel and was now coming to a completion, fulfilled the Exodus in Jesus. And that is why Matthew can say that it was fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt, I have called my son. Whereas the first Israel, God's son, deserved God's wrath, and so do we by nature, because of our rebellion and waywardness. But when God beholds that finished and complete work of Christ on the cross, when he sees his only begotten son, he says, this is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. God sent his son to do himself what his people could not do for themselves. And that is what the gospel writer does under the leading of the Holy Spirit, by analogy, a parallel. He applies the context of God's covenant way with people in the text of Hosea to Christ. That it is Christ who went in exile, became a refugee in order to deliver those who are in exile. Here it is Christ, the faithful and the obedient one, over against Israel, the unfaithful and the disobedient one. Here it is the gracious, then it was the gracious and loving Lord who brought out his people out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, as we have read this morning, who goes before him, who cares for them on the way to the entire wilderness journey. And so it is Christ who calls his people, a people such as you and me, who by nature refuse to repent, to return to the Lord, and want to serve other kings than God. For the backsliding people, Christ was called out of Egypt. Then the Lord is moved with compassion and says in his word, I will teach you the way you should go. I will carry you. When you pass through the waters, I, says the Lord, will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And at times, he carries you in his arms. Even when you do not see it. And maybe you know the story of that man that when he dreamed one day when he was walking through life on a sandy path with the Lord, and he noticed always two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. But there were many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints, and particularly in those challenging and very lowest and saddest times of his life. And this really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord. And he said, Lord, thou hast promised that in following thee, thou would walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, I see only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed thee the most, would thou leave me? And then the Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love thee. and I never will leave thee. During your times of trial and sufferings, maybe now in your life, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. That I carried you. When it seems that the way is too much for you, he strengthens the weak. In the brokenness of life, maybe brokenness of relationships, of strained and struggling marriages, I heal, says the Lord. He knows of that pain that you bear in your life, of the grief and sorrow and struggles. Maybe no one knows. When your love for him, who loved you first, and that love is so faint and feeble, then he says, I will draw with bands of love. And so Hosea was looking back in his time who the Lord was for his people, called out of Egypt. And so Matthew looked back in his time who Christ is for his people, called out of the house of bondage. And therefore this morning, do you not read in amazement that it might be fulfilled, which the Lord has spoken through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son, Lord, for me? Going as a refugee, being called out of Egypt, for me, to deliver me from the bondage of sin, for me, to carry me through life. For me, despite who I am before thee, and yet drawn with loving kindness, cords of love, that he carries my burden that presses me down so many times. 'Tis because out of Egypt I have called my son. Here is a king. Here is Jesus, a willing Savior, a ready Savior, a substitute, a strength, a place of refuge. And therefore, congregation, before we go home, our third point, and briefly, an invitation to remember. Because when the Gospel writer emphasized so much what is fulfilled from the past in Christ. He stresses to remember, to be reminded, first of all, who Jesus is. And therefore I leave you with three considerations. First, hearing this morning of King Jesus, remember, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee here present. When Herod was hearing about Jesus, of this king, he turned into anger and terror and opposition. And the religious people, they did not go to Jesus. And you. And you. At this morning, not in Cairo, in Egypt, with that stone, but in Grand Rapids, you have seen that rock of salvation, which is of infinite value compared to that weight of that stone. And yet, much lower than 7 feet, Christ who humbled himself and meets you where you are, even now. And for those, he came out of Egypt. Then I ask you, why this text? I ask you, why this text? Shall you then not answer with such a willing, such a willing and ready Savior, that you may say by grace, He is my only hope. He is my light, my strength, my song, a cornerstone, this solid ground, firm to the fierce drought and storms, my life, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all. Secondly, when you may confess this by grace, if you may know that now personally, and many has confessed that in the last Lord's Supper, is it then too much that the Lord asks us in Exodus 23? And that is the practical implication of His coming out of Egypt, of this only Savior, this practical and I think also relevant implication what the Lord commands us, where He says, you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Remember, be mindful, we are called to treat foreigners, refugees, strangers as citizens of our own community. Offer compassion. Remember, at one time we were foreigners ourselves, as the apostle reminds us, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the covenant of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And therefore, is it too much? As the apostle reminds us in Hebrews 13, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember, let us welcome then foreigners and immigrants and refugees in our homes and in our church. And third and lastly, and here is, I think, where the first and the second consideration come together. On the last day, remember, the day of judgment, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, not Christ in His humiliation, who had to take refuge in Egypt, but as the risen and the living Christ, the King in His glory, and every eye, also your eyes present this morning, every eye shall see Him. When Christ shall gather the nations before Him, from China, from Brazil, from the Philippines, from the Netherlands, the United States, He shall gather you. Parents, with your children. And then the king shall say to those who opposed him, I was a stranger, and you took me not in. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. And he will say, depart from me. But he also will say to those who have bowed their knee, took refuge in him, this King Jesus, this very welcoming Savior for sinners and saints, he will say, come ye blessed of my Father. And they will wonder why. And they will be reminded, I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Inasmuch as you have done unto the least of these my brethren, You have done it unto me. So when you walk out of this church building this morning, and someone will ask you, why this text? Out of Egypt I have called my son. Will you not answer? Will you not answer then? He is my only hope. Christ and him alone. My God and my King. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, will bless thy word. Feeble and with much shortcoming, proclaimed. But Lord, will bless thine own word and thy own work with thy spirit in each of our hearts. That when we will stand that last day, on the day of judgment before thee, before King Jesus, and then to hear, come, ye blessed of my Father. Lord, thy people need an eternity to wonder out that wonder of grace, that thou came out of Egypt for such a people as we are. So give a blessing upon thy word, that we may meditate upon it, to be reminded by it, and practice it this week that lies before us. Be with us the furnace of this day. Grant us a true Shabbat, a day of rest, a rest in thee. And we ask these things in the forgiveness of our sins, but for Christ's sake alone. Amen.